I will explain the invocation in English first, then I will chant in Pali, followed by the Vandana. We will chant together. After that, we will do the Ittipeso, Swakato, Supatipanno. Means we chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Invocation to the Devas. In the universe, in their entirety, let the deities and the devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and releases Nibbana. This is the time to listen to doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Now I will chant the Pali. Samanta cakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhamang muni rajasa sunantu saka mongkadang dhamma savanan kalo ayang bandata Dhamma savanan kalo ayang bandata. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang bandata. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Ittipeso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhammasarati satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanaiko pacatang veditatpu vinoheti supatipanno bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho Nyāyapatipanno bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho Sāmicchipatipanno bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho Yadidāṁ cattari purisayukkāni Atta purisa pukkala esa bhagavato sāvaka saṅgho āhuneyo pāhuneyo dakkhineyo anjali karaneyo anuttaraṁ puññaṁ khetaṁ Lokasati Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay. Now we will continue with our Dhamma sharing session. Okay, tonight anybody wants to report meditation or ask any question before we continue with our Dhamma sharing. Nobody. Okay, if nobody, maybe tonight we will do something different. Have you gone through these notes? Last time I passed out. There are four pages. I think we only did part of it. So maybe now we will try to do the complete one. Anybody don't have the notes? You get it from the green bag, the blue file, the whole thing. Pass it around. If you already had at home, you can borrow, then later return. Short notes on the three phases of Dhamma cultivation: transcendental, dependent origination, and the extinction of defilement leading to liberation, means the Sabba Asava Sutta that talks about how defilements can extinct or can become completely destroyed or rooted out, leading to the enlightenment. Okay, turn to the first page, one stroke three. One stroke three, section A. The three phases of Dhamma cultivation and their purpose. So this one, last time we have actually gone through. We had a chart which is more detailed. You can recall that chart, the color one on the whiteboard. That one was the first chart that described very clearly to you what are these three phases of Dhamma all about. So if you need to refer back to them, you refer back to them, then develop a clear understanding. Anyway, this chart summarizes again briefly what this thing is. Phase one is learning of the doctrine. The Buddha said you have to start with the first phase of Dhamma, means you learn about this teaching, the doctrine. And he called it Pariyatti. So Pariyatti is the learning. So the learning here, you can do it in various ways. So you look at the second column, cultivation. So you can develop the learning through hearing of the sutta or listening to the sutta. Then nowadays, because of technology and advancement in our civilization, we can actually put them into writing. So the writing aspect in the form of books, notes, computer, printout and all those things, it has helped a lot. So you can read them either online or through the text or through the notes. Then after that, you can move on to the second phase. The second phase of learning, this is still the phase one of Dhamma, but second phase of learning of the Dhamma and the phase one. After you have read, you can reflect, contemplate into it. Then you can inquire deep into it so that you can stabilize what you have read, what you have heard. Then you assimilate them into your mind to develop the clear, stable understanding of what this Dhamma is all about. So once you can do that, then you actually can develop what they call wisdom, or at least the initial wisdom, the understanding of what this teaching is all about, and you see the importance of it. Then the purpose of this Pariyatti is to establish our faith in the Buddha and his teaching. We are knowing who he is and how wonderful his teaching is, because this teaching can summarize to you all of life, and it can actually explain to you clearly the secret of life, both the mundane and the supramundane, and how through this understanding you can become enlightened. And when you see the beauty of this teaching, you will develop the faith. Then you will actually determine through virya. That's why sadha virya will develop. then you were determined to put this teaching into practice because you see the importance of it. So that's why it will take us to the second phase of Dhamma. The second phase of Dhamma is Patipatti. Patipatti is the phase where you put what you have studied, the teaching, into practice, into cultivation. So cultivation of the Dhamma in daily life is phase two, Patipatti. Then you can develop this cultivation until your wisdom arises, until you awaken. Then you become enlightened. After phase two, you will get to reap the fruits of your hard work, of your diligence, your cultivation. And they call it Pativeda. The third phase is the fruit of your hard work, your practice and your cultivation. That is to say, you will get to live the noble life, the life of the enlightened one. When you reap this fruit of cultivation, you will get to understand clearly what life is all about. Then through this understanding, you will be able to live that kind of beautiful life that is free of all suffering. No more delusion, no more ignorance. There is no more what they call negativity of mind state. The mind is so heedful, so beautiful, so peaceful, so calm, so full of clarity and understanding. It is no longer deluded. That's why you can get to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. Then you get to actually live life to the fullest. So these are all the beautiful things that can happen. So that's why the cultivation of Dhamma in these three phases are very beautiful. So we will go in to develop better understanding of phase two, Patipatti. So Patipatti actually consists of the cultivation. And the gist of the cultivation under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the Buddha already explained very clearly. It consists of the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. These three turnings are very important because there are four truths. You turn it three times, so it arises the 12 modes. So the hearing of the doctrine, you already have actually developed the understanding under the phase one of the Dhamma. Then when it comes to phase two, you will have to develop the second turning. Second turning is about reflection, contemplation and inquiry. So as you go through life, within your daily life, if you can constantly contemplate, reflect, and inquire into the Dhamma, especially the Four Noble Truths, which are the handful of life, which the Buddha said, things that are right or fit for attention under Sabbasava Sutta. So when you develop that within your daily life, then you sharpen your understanding, you deepen your faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Because when you put it into test, you investigate into all the teaching that the Buddha has taught you, then when you realize that they stand up to investigation, you will have very strong faith in the Buddha. So Saddha Virya will be strengthened. Then it will motivate you to actually develop the cultivation more diligently. And because of that, you start to establish more and more understanding, leading to all the right views, to straighten your views. Once your view gets straightened, then your cultivation will progress very fast. Then every moment of sense experience within your daily life, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or thing or something. The mind is different now, because you are no longer deluded, no longer gullible, and ignorance is already like slowly attenuated and reduced, so that your mental hindrance, your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience or mental reaction to sense experience, they start to slow down, then finally they cease to be. Then you will have more and more of these moments of equanimity, more and more of this moment of inner awareness, silent, peace. That's why your mind become more heedful, less and less heedless. And this can only come about if you know how to develop the cultivation, because a lot of people don't quite understand. Today I received one request from Brother Gan, I think. You know the Klang Dhammaduta committee member. He used to invite me to give talk there. So he is preparing for next year's talk. He gave me 12 months, all the dates there. Then he suggested all the topic. The first topic was very interesting. He put the title as, he said, I can change the title. But I saw the title, I actually knew what he wanted. But because their exposure is quite limited, so he put there, moment-to-moment mindfulness meditation. They want to discuss this topic. They want me to elaborate on this. Then he sent me an e-book that he actually found it. He must have found it very impressive, very good. Then he said the topic come from there. Well, that book is, the title is something like that, Moment to Moment Mindfulness Meditation. It is a very short book. I mean, I just glanced through. I didn't read in detail. But I just glanced through. Then I knew what the book was trying to actually present or share with people. But the actual training is not like that one. But if you read, it's like quite impressive. It's like a lot of things are written down there, but they are not written in the way that a person who has actually understood the thing would have written. It's still a lot of what they call theoretical understanding. But it was written in such a way because they haven't heard of this type of teaching before, maybe. So it sounds like very, very interesting, and maybe to them it's impressive. But when I reflect on what was written, I said, no wonder it's very difficult for people to penetrate the Dhamma, the teaching. Because now the key word is what? Present moment awareness, sanasana. Moment to moment mindfulness, sanasana. Then later on, of course, we have this daily mindfulness. But these are only words, sanasana. How to develop the cultivation is a totally different field. So it's not what they write there. Because if you go into the teaching, actually the Buddha's teaching is very complete, very detailed. So that's why I want to share this, so that you can develop the understanding. It's not to say that you do this so-called moment-to-moment mindfulness meditation, then you can awaken. There are a lot of things that lead to this daily mindfulness. Then you have to combine the teaching. Otherwise, you cannot penetrate. You gullibly go and do all this noting. Which that book also write. But his noting is not so bad, not so thought-based in that sense. But still, because they couldn't understand, it is still actually trapped inside those thought-based things. So, what I saw was, they lack the basic understanding of the essential teaching of the Buddha Dhamma. They didn't actually review what the Buddha actually taught. Before you even start this daily mindfulness, you have to understand one very important word, which he didn't talk about it. Heedfulness. That's apamada. That's why the Buddha just focused on this. Heedfulness. He said, apamada. Before he died, he still repeat. Apamadena sampadeta. So what is this heedfulness? They didn't establish. To be heedful is to be ever mindful, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path or the Buddha Dhamma, so that you can develop the understanding, the wisdom, so that you can liberate your mind. And that is heedfulness. So the key to heedfulness is mindfulness. Understand? So mindfulness, how do you develop them? So a lot of people don't understand. They straight away go into meditation. They straight away want to go into retreat. Slow everything down, thinking that by doing this, you can develop the mindfulness and the meditation. But if you look at your mind, you will come to understand. This mind initially, if it's untrained, is heedless, understand? No? Even after you train, let's say, you go to retreat, you're very diligent. Because it's a conditioned state, understand? So during that period, you're very calm, very peaceful, maybe more mindful. More mindful in the sense that you don't have distraction, understand? When your mind don't have distraction, it tends to settle down, understand? Then it has less thinking. Then it is, in a certain way, less heedless. But then, this situation doesn't last, understand? Because you have to come out of the retreat. You have to return to your daily life. You have to fulfill your worldly duties. So for lay people, this type of life is actually not possible. Unless you can carry this trained mind back into your daily life and live life using that trained mind. And that is what the Buddha meant by heedfulness. Understand? Heedfulness is ever mindful to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path or the Dhamma so that you can develop wisdom to become enlightened. And you have to do it throughout the day. Understand? That's why this is what daily mindfulness is all about. You have to be heedful all the time, most of the time. If you cannot do that, no point. That's why they go retreat, they come out, square one. After a few weeks, square one. They never change, they never transform. Then when it comes to daily mindfulness, we still need to do a lot of work. First, for you to have a stable sati, to develop this daily mindfulness, the Buddha said, you must have the five spiritual faculty developed. Without the five spiritual faculty, the hindrance will take over. Remember? The five mental hindrance, the two categories of Dhamma. So the five mental hindrance, they will arise very fast the moment you are heedless. The moment your spiritual faculties are not there. So actually the whole of cultivation, you have to start with the spiritual faculty. And how to develop the spiritual faculty, they never teach you. That's why the Buddha introduced puja. Understand? Puja you cannot do throughout the day. Understand? But at least you can make it a routine. At home, early morning when you wake up, before you sleep. You do 5-10 minutes, then meditate a bit. Then another 10 minutes or what? For 20 minutes or 30 minutes is the best. Then in between, you develop mindfulness of whatever activity. So if you do that, your spiritual faculty will develop. Because every time you do this puja, the 10 meritorious action is there. You develop the faith, sadha, virya, you reflect, contemplate, then you pay respect mindfully, you bow. You develop reverential salutation. Then you meditate. Then you rejoice, you radiate metta. Then you keep on contemplating, reflecting, you straighten your view, you listen to Dhamma. Then you rejoice, then you straighten your view. Then you provide service, everything. So all this, you are able to actually develop a type of very powerful nature which will evolve around the cultivation. And this will bring forth the merits and the blessings, because these are very meritorious actions. All the time meritorious actions have you done. And through this meritorious action, you invoke the power of merits and make aspiration for causes and conditions to arise so that you can avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise and life, so that enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized. Then you can also create affinity with all the great beings, the Bodhisattva, the Buddha. Then you make aspiration for them to guide you, protect you, and bless you. So all these are very powerful cultivation technique and condition for you to actually progress. This thing was never taught. Understand not? Then after, let's say you have understood this, you develop the phase one learning of the doctrine. You listen to the recording, you read the text, you develop the understanding of the notes, everything. Let's say you do all this diligently. Then after you have understood the gist of the cultivation, you have to put it into practice, understand? Putting into practice is through the understanding. Then, like what I explained just now, the first thing is develop the spiritual faculty, understand? Forget about other things. Well, the moment the spiritual faculty is there, the hindrance is to be, understand? Then you become more and more heedful. So your daily religious routine is to help you to become more and more heedful, understand? Throughout the day, so that you are less and less heedless. You are less and less reacting to sense experience. Understand? Worrying about this, worrying about, thinking of this, thinking about that. Understand? All the worldly thing you replace with Dhamma activity. Understand? But you still have your duty. Understand? You still need to work. Some of you have a career. Some of you have a family. You can still do all this, but with the mindfulness to develop the understanding in daily life. So that as you live life, because the spiritual faculty are there, you will see the Dhamma in them. Understand? The Dhamma in them is no more like before, the five spiritual faculty. The Dhamma in them is now you move on to what they call the Four Noble Truths. Understand? You start to develop the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. You start to understand what dukkha is. The first noble truth of suffering. The eight condition behind. That's how you start to do the three turning. This is how you move into the Dhamma. Understand? From the faith, the spiritual faculty, you move into the Dhamma. What are spiritual faculty? Spiritual faculty are mind state that can develop the understanding of spiritual teaching. That's why they are called spiritual faculties. Understand? That's why with Sadha Virya, and when you develop Sati and Samadhi, you can understand the teaching very well, very easily, and very clearly. Because when Sati is there, followed by Samadhi, the mind does not stir. Then you see things as they are. There is clarity. Then you understand. Then when you understand, you develop understanding, which is Panya, wisdom, the last spiritual faculty. Then you start to straighten your view. You will not do the foolish thing like before. You will not allow your mind to be heedless again like before. Where the heedless are as if dead. It leads to negativity, leads to downfall. All your karmic action, speech and thought, they will collapse when you are heedless. But when you are heedful and mindful, ever mindful, when you start to cultivate the four right effort, when you start to develop mindfulness to see your mental intention, then you can deal with defilement. Understand? That's how later on, the next page, we will deal with what they call the Sabba Asava Sutta. The Sabba Asava Sutta is a very important aspect of the teaching. You see, initially, when you develop the five spiritual faculty, then you go into the three turnings or the four noble truth. Yeah? The three turnings or the four noble truth, you learn how to reflect, contemplate, then inquire, then stabilize your understanding, then after that you assimilate it in. Then the third turning is, of course, daily mindfulness leading to direct seeing. But the contemplative wisdom has to come up first, anasana. That's why the Buddha actually advised the monk to reflect, contemplate on the Four Noble Truths, yeah? The second turning. Then after that, part of the second turning is the five daily contemplation. Remember, the five daily contemplation to counter the First Noble Truth reality. So when you do that, you start to develop understanding and straighten your view. But this aspect is just a general cultivation, anasana. The deeper one is when the Buddha explained the Sabbasavasutta. Sabbasavasutta is the sutta on destruction of asava. Asavaks are defilement. So this, I list them down. Five spiritual faculties. After you have cultivated them, it will overcome the five hindrances. Overcome five mental hindrances. Okay. After that, you move on into the three turnings. Three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. Can follow, Okay? Then the most important one is this one. After the three turning, the second turning inside is the five daily contemplation. Asana. Five daily contemplation. This one loose. Oh, the clip has loosened. I need to put something at the back. Okay, you give me a minute. Okay, now stable already. That's why sometimes small thing, you didn't get it fixed, like defilement. You don't get it fixed, you are not able to cultivate, I tell you. Small thing, you may think, shake like it, shake like but you're going to waste a lot of time. Because every time you write, it's not stable. Just now while I write, you feel the sound. So, this is just the reason happening. After this, what do you do? You have to go to the third one. This third training is very important because when the Buddha taught all this, it's very general. Until the monk later on came out with a question, then you got the Sabbasavasutta. Sabbasavasutta. This one is on how to actually overcome all defilement. Asava, I forgot, got 2S or 1S? 2S. Asava, got 2S. So under this sutta, the Buddha actually breakdown on the number of ways to actually fight this asava. Asava are defilement. Defilement. defilement, or what they call kilesa. There are three words linked to this, remember? Kilesa, asava. Then the other one is the meaning of this, what they call anusaya. Remember? Anusaya, these are latent tendencies. Anusaya, then kilesa. Kilesa are the three evil roots, anusana. Then this is asava. Asava are latent tendency. Defilement. Oh, one S. Never mind. It's okay. Asava, one S. Okay, asava. So this one is defilement. Defilement, three evil roots. This one are latent tendency. Latent tendency. Can you remember that? So the Buddha say, in order to root out all this, this asava include kilesa and anusaya. That's all. Latent tendency are those that are not prominent. That's all. They are still dormant, hidden inside there. It's a defilement. But no condition is a zankama. Understand? Like when you are in a retreat, very conducive, nobody to disturb you and make you angry. So the anger, that fear doesn't arise. But when you come out into normal society, then you meet with people whom you don't like or not easy to be with. Nasty people and difficult people, and then sometimes they can make you angry, or they step on your leg, you can become very emotional and very violent. And sometimes they can put fear in you, they can harass you and make life difficult for you. So all these are defilements. So how you overcome them, the Buddha said. That's why he said defilements are of many, many types. There are certain times that you have to reflect and develop the wisdom to help overcome them. So the wisdom comes from this three turning or the four noble truth. So under Asava Sutta, after I will go through, it's in the notes there. The first one is, he said, right attention. Certain book put right vision or right seeing, but actually it's right attention. Means you must actually develop the ability to attend to things that are fit for attention. The Buddha said, if you are not able to attend to things that are fit for attention, then your mind can get into trouble. So the Buddha gave a lot of example. Actually, he said, he explained to the monk what he mean by right attention. So his general, what they call very general type of cultivation that can allow you to understand whether you are paying attention correctly or not, is only one very important criteria, is it? When you have right attention on any sense experience, means when you come to experience something through your senses. If you have right attention, then he said that defilement, the asava, the unarisen one cannot arise. Understand? The arisen one will cease to be. That is the criteria, is it? But if your attention is wrong, it's very easy to understand if you are mindful, is it? If your attention is wrong, you attend on things that are not fit for attention, asana. Things that are unfit for attention, is it? The moment you pay attention, the unarisen asava, defilement, they will arise. Can follow that? The arisen one, they will multiply. So what are the things that are unfit for attention? We give example. The Buddha actually during the 2000 over years ago when he talked to the monk, he actually want them to have right view, understand or not? So this one is to actually develop the right understanding so that this Sakkaya Ditthi, self-delusion, self-delusion, this one will cease to be. So the Buddha gave the example at that time. He said, when you start to attend to things that are unfit for attention, because during the early days, a lot of them like to attend to, like, they want to know their past life, understand? Who am I in the past? What am I in the past? What will I be in the future? Am I so and so in the past? So is it all this type of attention or reflection or thought process, they will bring about more and more ego, understand? Your atta will be strengthened, understand? And you will get entangled more and more, more and more. So he said, these are the things that are unfit for attention. Then he said, what are the things that fit for attention? Like the example he gave at Kosambi, the handful of leaf. The one that is fit for attention is the Four Noble Truths in its tree turning, which is this teaching. Understand not? So when you reflect and contemplate on the handful of leaf, because these are conducive for liberation of mind, for overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, leading to the enlightenment. So, namely, the Four Noble Truths. So, when you actually develop the cultivation with understanding, then you know the one that are fit for attention are just the Dhamma. Because all of the Dhamma, they spin off from the Four Noble Truths. Understand that? So that's why when you develop this tree turning and the five daily contemplation, you will have that type of right attention. But the Buddha said this is very general, understand? So this one is very general, very general. But it's a very good understanding, understand? Because it will help you nip the defilement at the bud. Whatever you lay attention on, if the unarisen anusaya or defilement starts to arise, then the arisen ones start to multiply and proliferate. They are all unfit for attention. So nowadays, under our society, there are many other things that you can think of as an example. I think the most obvious one is what? Nowadays, internet. Achan Achalo used to say this. Every time he come, he comment. He said, a lot of people log into the pornography site to see pornography. When you start to pay attention to pornography, what happened to your mind? The unarisen lust, defilement, and all those things start to arise there. Then the arisen one start to become more and more fierce, isn't it? More and more severe. That's why that type of thing, you have to develop the wisdom. You cannot attend. The moment you attend, you will get into it. You can go and find out yourself very easily. Then also you cannot what they call dream, or not to say dream. Like that, there are some very what they call people who actually like to what they call dreamer. Build castle, what? Like they daydream, but they call what? Build what? Building castle in the air. So, like they fall in love or infatuated with a very pretty girl, let's say, for a man, or for a lady is a very handsome man. Every day, they will go and take the photo, or especially the actor or actress, they will look at it. Then they will go and dream, how nice if he can become my girlfriend, boyfriend. Then throughout the day, this lustful thought keep on arising. So these are the things that are unfit for attention. Then in the eighth precept, you remember? The Buddha said, we undertake the precept to abstain from listening to what? that type of music, not normal music, understand? That type of music that can lure you, understand? How they put it in the precept? That type of show and music, I think, the unsightly show or what? Means scantily dressed. That type of thing. No, music and that type of show. If you or I'm not wrong. No, that type of show also. You go and check. Entertainment, yeah, entertainment. Entertainment, yeah. The word is entertainment. You must not entertain yourself by seeing all those show or listening to all those so-called that can make you lustful, understand, or heedless. Then there are also other things, like you go and focus on other field, where you develop the expertise or those field, they got nothing to do with the Four Noble Truths and the Dhamma, that cannot free you, understand? That one will get you more and more entangled, understand? Like you go psychic, and also not only psychic, like you like warfare, understand? You like to attack, conquer people. Then you go and study all the Sun Tzu, Ping Fa, everything, just to win the war, understand? Or how to deceive people and how to actually control people and all those things. So there are many of these feel that if you go and pay attention to and you devote your life to, then you can become really heedless and you are capable of a lot of what they call negativity. So the Buddha said this is a very general, a very general type of definition of how to understand whether you have cultivated correctly or wrongly. Then he moved into more specific, he said. After you understand already, he said, there are certain things, or defilement, where you have to exercise restraint. This one is more important. Restraint. Gottiya. You have to exercise restraint. So one other thing that you have to exercise restraint. Because throughout the day, you have to live life. Your six senses are very active. So at the moment of sense experience, what are the things that you have to exercise restraint? When you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or thing. Because you have undertaken to keep your precept. Correct or not? So when you start to, like, when you see something or hear something, you want to get angry already. You want to harm and you want to hurt, or you want to kill, or you want to deceive and all those things. Things that will lead to precepts. Things that will lead to the breaking of precepts. Understand not? You have to exercise restraint. Understand not? Means you have to restrain. Restraint is not suppression, no. Not control, no. Understand not? Not the one to get angry, no. Not the one to become violent, no. Understand not? Restraint means through your wisdom, your reflection, your contemplation, because you have undertaken the training rules to abstain from killing or causing harm, from lying, from deceiving, from cheating and all those things. So because you have undertaken the training rule to refrain or restrain from all this, you have to be ever mindful, understand not? That's why you must have daily mindfulness. You must have sati to see your mental intention. Then you exercise restraint, means these are not conducive for the holy life, understand not? This will lead to downfall. This will lead to the what they call negativity of action, speech and thought that will lead to negative karma. So when you have right view in regards to the law of karma, you know that these are the things you have to avoid, understand not? That's like all evil you have to avoid. How you avoid? It's your mental intention, understand? If your mental intention is wholesome, then it's okay. People quarreling, you start to have the understanding and you start to observe. If there is condition to help, you can help. It's okay. You can go and help another or not. But if it's like people quarreling, then you start to see your Maya having this discriminative, what they call, views. So what you do? Oh, these two argue. Yeah. Oh, good. I don't like that fellow. So you go and pour oil and tell this fellow to become more fierce with this fellow. And this is negativity, understand? Causing harm, understand? Or trying to lie, deceive, cheat. Means the intention behind. Means you violate your precept again, understand? So when you exercise restraint, means that's why precept is not what you think. No? You only chant Panatipata Viramani Sikha Padam Samadhi Yami, then after that you forget about it. The whole thing is a cultivation. I undertake the training rule. You have to train yourself to be ever mindful not to break this precept. No. Means what? When you have this mental intention to act out of it, which is transgression, really, understand? Not? From the intention inside, it has become transgression. You want to act out of it, you want to become angry. Really. Action and speech coming out already, understand? Then you have to exercise restraint. If you still allow it to come out, means your four right effort, the first two is gone. The first right effort is what? The unwholesome thought that has arisen, you abandon it. Remember? Then the unwholesome speech that has arisen, you abandon it. Action also same. Then after that, you develop more mindfulness and understanding. Then you can prevent them from arising. That is where you actually become very skillful. When you can prevent them from arising, you are restraining. Asana. But you haven't rooted out yet. The rooting out is later, when the wisdom is there, stabilized. Then it will root out. Then, not only you no need to prevent it from arising, it cannot arise at all. Asana. That's why that is the last one. The last one is through development. Development of what? The seven factors of enlightenment. I write them all down, then you will understand. This one I have to explain a bit. Okay. After you have you pay attention, you exercise restraint, then there is another one is the third one is what already? Proper use. Proper. But before that, there is another one. Restraint, attention, restraint. Endurance. Yes, very good. Endurance. Then fourth one is proper use. The fifth one is avoidance. Avoidance. Yeah, the avoid. Then number six is abandon. Abandon or rejection or removal also can. Removal. Then the seventh one is development. Development is to develop the seven factors of enlightenment. Development. This one is to develop the seven factors of enlightenment. ENG. And lie. ENLI. Enlightenment. Anyway. Enlightenment. So you see, this seven is a very good breakdown, understand not? Restraint, you know, you exercise restraint because you have undertaken the precept and all those things, that's why you exercise restraint. Then endure is what? Like your five daily contemplation, remember? This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, fall sick, die. Okay? So as you experience all those, because this is body, it will go the way of nature. you go and lament, complain, become miserable over it, also no use. Understand? Because this is the nature of the body. Understand? It will go the way of nature. But if there is condition for you to do something about it, understand? To attend to it and to make it better. And then you just do what you have to do. Understand? Otherwise, let's say you are in the forest like a monk. Understand? If nobody offers food to you, what can you do? You need to endure. Correct? Let's say at night the weather is very, very harsh. You need to endure. Then when you have certain situation, let's say you fall sick, like during the time of the early 60s, I think, Achamande or that time, I remember, a lot of these forest monks, they have this story. They got malaria in the forest. No? They don't have medication, no? Medicine. So what they do, they endure, understand? And some of them recover, understand? Yeah. So it's only later time when they have this, what they call, modern facilities, when they have this quinine and all those things where they can take, then they can actually develop the cure. Mm. Otherwise, many of them do succumb to malaria and die. Because in the forest, there are a lot of this mosquito and all those things. Mm. So endurance is something you have to endure. Like you have an injury, understand? Before you can seek medical help, you cry, lament, also no use. So when condition is like that, you have to endure. Then later on, do what you have to do to get whatever help and medication. Then you can actually reduce the what they call the consciousness that is responsible for that what they call difficult situation, because the consciousness is trapped inside, so you have to endure. So endurance can also happen in meditation. Understand? When you are meditating, let's say initially when you are not used to it, what happens when pain arises? Itchiness arises. Numbness arise, sleepiness arise. You have to endure. You have to learn how to endure and understand what is going on. Then you have to develop the appropriate wisdom to help overcome them. That's how you develop endurance. Then sometimes, very difficult situation, you need to have a lot of patience. You need to endure through your cultivation and so on. Your practice. You cannot overnight one result, understand? I work so hard, how come I am still stuck? Understand? You work so hard and still stuck means what? You work hard in the wrong way, understand? Or you must have worked hard according to what you think, understand? Which is not the real, what they call, diligence. Understand? But if you work hard according to proper understanding, you will definitely progress, understand? So you have to check, understand? So endurance is when you know you are on the right path, you have to be very patient, you have to endure. That's why the Bodhisattva, they cultivate with a lot of endurance. That's why endurance is patient, understand? The true patient, no, not the suppression, no, not the control, no. That one is yan, no. But this one, patient is they can endure, no. They don't yarn on, they endure where they know this is the path, this is the way, and this is the condition behind. So you have to continue with the cultivation. That's why they endure, understand? And they diligently cultivate with understanding. So endurance is a very powerful cultivation. You want to go the Bodhisattva way. This is one of the parami, actually. Endurance is the true patient, not the suppression type patient. Oh, this one is the sick one. Correct, patient. CE is what? This is a sick person, isn't it? CE only the correct one, isn't it? I think CE, I also not sure. Well, my English no good. Yun Chan should be better, this is patient. The other one is the hospital one. Patient. No, when you endure something means you endure with wisdom. You understand it. You don't go and suppress, no. Like that guy make you angry. I yarn with him. Actually, I want to whack him already. But I cannot really do it because no good. Understand? People may think I very, what they call, angry. So I'm a cultivator. I must not get angry. So he yarn. He suppress his anger. Don't want to let go. The other one is with the wisdom. He is the way he is. Why you want to get angry with a deluded person? A selfish person or emotional person? Because deluded people do deluded things. So when you understand, you endure the whatever so-called, to normal people it's like abuse, understand not? Abusive words, understand not? Yeah? Or do certain things that are very irritating to other people. But because you have the wisdom, you can accept him for what he is, or her for what she is, then you endure the abuse, understand not? You endure all the things that is been done, understand not? Oh, that one is forced to endure. That is not real endurance. That is yarn. Got no choice. Where you scared you lose your job. So there is a very, very clear cut difference between endurance and suppression. When you suppress your emotion, that is not patience. But when you endure with understanding, that is patience. So the word is endurance with understanding. With understanding. Then it becomes true patience. Understanding. So when you endure with understanding, it becomes patience. Yan. Otherwise it becomes suppression. When you endure without understanding, it's actually suppression. Then proper use, I think you understand. Yeah, yes. Definitely better. But both also negative. It's definitely better than transgression. But the problem with suppression is you not only didn't root it out, no, you bottled it out. Waiting to explode. When you suppress, like you bottle up the whole thing, no? Then when it reach your limit, what happens? It will explode. The Malay word letup means explode. So either way, either you suppress, you cannot suppress, then it becomes transgression. So what Padmasri asked was also very relevant. Is it better to suppress than to allow it to explode, to become transgression? Definitely is better, but both are negative tendencies. That's why you need to cultivate wisdom through what? Through reflection and contemplation, through right view. That's why every time you reflect, contemplate, you straighten your view. So when you straighten your view, you know how to endure, you know how to exercise restraint. Understand not? This is the real cultivation, no? Without this one, you go and do moment-to-moment mindfulness. You go and note and do all these funny things. I tell you, you cannot even improve your cultivation. It's only through these seven, you realize, after you have this contemplative wisdom, you know how to actually develop the understanding to pay attention to the right thing. Means you reduce your lust. Understand not? Your delusion, your emotional negativity, by not paying attention to those things that you are not supposed to pay attention to, understand? But you see through mindfulness immediately how the asava, an arisen one, come to be, then the arisen one continue to proliferate. Then here, you will have to develop the understanding of how to stop them, understand? Understand? When this right attention is not there, you realize that they proliferate, and then you have to check. That defilement, if I exercise restraint, does it lead to the destruction of that defilement? If it doesn't, then do I have to cultivate endurance with understanding?
if I endure, does the suffering cease? If I exercise restraint, does the defilement cease? So all this you will understand. The proper use is, of course, you reflect on the food offered to you, the robe that offered to you. They are to serve certain purpose, anasana. The word of coal is all written in the what they call the sutta. So like in the forest, is to help them to actually to overcome all those weather condition, insect and all those things, anasana, grab flies, whatever that can actually, then to cover their, of course, private part and all those things. So when you develop understanding of proper usage of the things, the four requisites they are offered to you, then you develop the what they call wisdom, not to be deluded by what is being offered, anasana. Then you can actually develop the actual understanding of its purpose. Then why the Buddha actually promote this type of tradition, Pindapat and all those things. The lay community and the Sangha, how they actually, like symbiosis, support each other. The lay people support the Sangha by offering the four requisites. And the Sangha, being worthy of offering, actually provide them with a feel of great feel of merits and so on, then share the Dhamma with them. Then at the same time, they have this wisdom to reflect on the proper use of the offering. Then through this, merits can be developed both ways, understand? So this one is the fourth one, proper use. So now you know, exercise restraint, endurance, then develop the understanding of proper. Are they avoidant? This one is avoid what? Avoid what? Foolish people, that's why you always chant, foolish and heedless people, foolish and heedless people. Then? Some more? What? Dangerous situation. Very good. Dangerous situation. So when you have this understanding, you will not be deluded. Then you only meet up with the wise. So that you can actually develop the good condition to cultivate. So avoid foolish and heedless people, dangerous situation. Dangerous situation, you know, whatever situation, like if there is very poisonous snake, especially cobra, if you know the area is infested, you should avoid, anasana. Don't be a hero. Well, this form of mind is very, very fragile and very vulnerable. Then, dangerous situation, where condition can be very, very bad, you should avoid. Then also, like, wild animal places, when you know that they can be very aggressive, very fierce, so these are dangerous places to be. So if you can avoid, you should try to avoid. Unless you want to cultivate, you move into the forest and you know you have to face some of this, and then you still need to exercise understanding. If you really have the metta, you are up to the mark in the cultivation, then you want to go and test yourself, then you can live with the wild animal while in the forest. And there are many stories during the early days, especially Thailand. The forest monk, they stay with the wild elephant, the tigers, the snake. My this teacher, Ajayantra, his kuti up there, it's suspended over a very big cavity down there, I think 40 feet down. And down there got a lot of snake. He stayed there. And the snake, actually, that time his metta was very powerful. The snake liked him. And there were many stories. Then they can actually develop that metta until that tiger, everything, the wild animal, they actually don't disturb them. And even Achaman, the biography, yeah? How many of you have read? Yeah? How many of you have read? Ah, you saw the one, the animal pay respect to him or not? The deva come and offer food and all those things. A lot of this situation. Huh? Even during the Buddha's time also say, that elephant that was drunk, one of the who don't like the Buddha, he actually make this elephant drunk, then make this elephant charge at the Buddha. Then it became one of the sutta, giri something. Then the Buddha just redeemed metta, and the elephant came, just kneel down. That metta was so strong. Drunk elephant also can become sober. So when there is this, what they call understanding, then the mind is very different. So this one is to avoid. Then after that, abandon and removal. This one is just like the four right effort we talked about. The first two. You certain defilement, you have to abandon them. You have to actually remove them. Removal or abandon. Because these are defilements that are very, very unique, very different, and very strong. So without wisdom, they does not go away. So before you develop wisdom, you have to abandon them. Understand? If you don't abandon them, it will continue to haunt you. This is how the wrong thought cause people to become what they call full of suffering. Understand? Then they have a lot of suffering, a lot of what they call unhappiness. Then this thought become like a cocoon. Then they enter depression. Then they got insomnia, they cannot sleep and all those things. So if you don't abandon, you will end up depression. You hold on to your wrong thought tenaciously. Even Salika Sutta mentioned about it. Then after this sutta, Sabba Asava Sutta, there is a fourth one now. Salika Sutta. Salika Sutta is very good. It talk about the 44 negative state that you had to avoid. He expanded into 44, but that 44, I look at it like too detailed. Well, at that time, every mind state, the Buddha tried to define them because I think too many questions. So myself, one short answer all. So after that, no more question on this type of sutta. The last one is, if you hold on to your view tenaciously, under Salika Sutta, the Buddha said, nobody can help you. That's why you have to abandon. You have to remove them. So, okay, with this understanding, we now wrap it up. We got another 10 to 15 minutes only, Okay. Yes. It has got nothing to do with Four Noble Truths. Understand? It teach you how to win a war. Understand? So it does not lead to what they call reduction of craving. Understand? Not to say you cannot do. Understand? Like you want to do Tai Chi, everything you can do. Understand? Then you use it to develop health, everything you can. Understand? But if you are a cultivator, understand? Your priority should be on the development of the Dhamma. Understand? Because this is the what they call cultivation. You have to develop heedfulness throughout the day. So if you allocate time for things that are not associated with the Dhamma, with the cultivation, then this type of training can actually lead to heedlessness if you are not careful. Understand? You develop passion and interest in that field. Understand?
then you spend too much time on that. Understand? Means you neglect your holy life, your cultivation. No, they can learn if you think it is good and it can develop the qi and for you to develop the health, then it's up to you. That's why I say the choice is up to the individual. If you want it for health, then you develop it. That is your choice. Understand? But if you are a cultivator, then you will know. Then you can actually mix. Understand? No problem. There are some people, you also have to train your health. Understand? Like I also go and walk. Understand? Because this body need to have exercise. Understand? But as I walk and train, I develop mindfulness. Understand? I don't go and walk and train and like Sun Tzu Art of War, I go like the whole mind is like lost in it. Understand? No. I can exercise, I can walk, I can do all those movements, but I fully aware, fully mindful. And as I walk, I reflect, contemplate on the Dhamma. Understand? These were the early days when I cultivate. Yes. Yeah. It's the same, you see. If you develop with mindfulness, if your focus is not on the martial art to fight, to challenge, of course they use the word for self-defense. Understand? It's legitimate. Understand? When you are attacked, it's for self-defense. But if you focus it wrongly, then you want to become like a kung fu champion. Understand? Then the whole of the intention behind is no longer to develop mindfulness and maintain health. Understand? And for self-defense, that your ego will be inflated. That's why during that time in China, with the Shaolin Si, they got so much problem fighting everywhere. Once they come out of Shaolin, they thought they are very good fighter. So they go everywhere and say, "Oh, Shaolin Si dear." So in Penang, they got a Zhongling school. They call Zhongling Zhiti instead of Shaolin. So it depends on what you want. Let me wrap it up first. So these are very important. If you know how to develop these seven practices, it is complete enough. That's why what I want to share with you is about the moment-to-moment mindfulness meditation. You have to develop the five spiritual faculty first. Then that will overcome your five mental hindrance. Then after that, to develop the wisdom, the Dhamma, to straighten your view, you have to do the three turning. Understand? Three turning to develop the three type of corresponding wisdom. Suttamaya Panya, Cintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya. Then the five daily contemplation to develop the what they call contemplative wisdom to straighten your view. If you don't straighten your view, you cannot actually develop the silent mind. Your mind cannot become like naturally calm itself down, then become less and less heedless, more and more mindful. Then it will reach paucity, the meditative state. To reach paucity means your mind is non-reactive anymore, understand? That's why it's still, it's silent, it's aware, fully aware. How can it stay like that? That's why the heedful never die. If you are the heedful, the mind of the heedful, they are not heedless. And how can they be heedful? Not until they cultivate all this so that they develop the wisdom to straighten their view. So once you straighten your view, you have the wisdom, then you know what are the things that is fit for attention. Initially, this is very general. You cannot do anything. But then you realize there are a lot of things that you put your attention on. You cannot really overcome the defilement. It's just like those that are related to the precept. Then you realize you have to exercise restraint because you have undertaken the training rule to abstain from all those things. So you don't exercise restraint through understanding or wisdom, that defilement will proliferate as well.
you will have the tendency to kill, harm, deceive, commit sexual misconduct. Yeah? Then maybe tell lie and arise all the unwholesome speech and partake in toxic and everything. But if you understand clearly, yeah, that these are the precepts that you undertake and you can exercise restraint upon sense experience, and then that is the first training. And then when you exercise restraint, those defilements cease to be. And this is very powerful, now, restraint. Then after that, things that you have to endure. Endure means nature's condition within this form. You've got two choices, I always say. When you get sick, complain, become miserable. The next is, develop the understanding that body is just a body, it goes the way of nature. Every living being that has a body and mind also experience the same. So when the condition is like that, you need to endure. You endure, then you are at peace. If you don't endure, you go and complain and react, you become miserable. Then that time, not only body sick, mind also becomes sick. So when you can endure, your mind need not be sick. The body experiences certain adverse condition, very harsh condition, but it can endure because it knows this is what is, this is the reality. I got two choices. React, become miserable. Endure with wisdom and peace. That's why no more negativity. Then proper use, not deluded. You won't become like deluded by all the food and the offering. You don't go and attach. You don't go and compare. Wow, why they offer that robe, nice one, to the other monk? Don't offer to me. How come every day this type of food? I want this type of food. They don't want to bring. I cannot tell them. Then you don't understand the proper use of this requisite. Then you are a monk. No, there is this lay down rules. No, that you accept whatever that has been offered. No, then you have to be ever mindful whether they are. You are worthy of the offering or not. Then whether this food you can partake or not. That's why you have to exercise mindfulness. Yeah. Then you have to develop proper understanding of the requisite. Then you have to thank them for all those who have made this food available. You rejoice in their wholesomeness. Then you aspire by the power of this wholesomeness. May it arise across the same condition for them to be blessed or have good life and good health. And all. So you can actually make use of their wholesomeness. Then you rejoice. It's a meritorious action. Then you invoke the power of wholesomeness. Then you actually wish them to the understanding. So these are all very powerful way of developing wisdom. Then after that, once you avoid the foolish and the heedless and dangerous situation, then you can cultivate with confidence and all. That's why your mind becomes more at peace. You don't have to worry about those situations that can disturb you. Like just now here, ta da 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 da. These are like heedless people disturbing you. So if you see already, then you put something behind, then these heedless people not around. Oh, very good. No more sorrow. Then we can use. So cultivation is when you understand, it leads to a lot of wisdom. Yeah. Then after that, the last one is, of course, you have to abandon those that are already not conducive, not proper, especially wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, all those very negative and very harsh ones. If you don't abandon them, you will go into depression and all those things. And this habitual tendency will develop until all the defilement will come back to you. Understand? Yeah. But chances are, once you cultivate the above, your this one, you don't have to do much already. Most of them are gone. Then the last one, of course, the Buddha say, in order to completely root it out, understand? Bhavana maya panya, the last one, the third turning, direct seeing, you have to develop the seven factors of enlightenment. This one, once you develop, it will remove all the other latent tendency, anusaya. All those that are within, deep inside, that don't have a chance to surface, they will all be rooted out.
Because once the seven factors of enlightenment are there, they are very powerful. They lead to liberation, enlightenment. Okay? Yeah. Okay, I got to quickly summarize. I got about 5 more minutes, I think. So, first page, part B, sequence of samadhi. So, first is you develop the spiritual faculty, the 5 spiritual faculty, to abandon the 5 hindrance. Then after that, you abandon the kilesas, means the 3 evil roots. All the gross and subtle defilement of mind, including the asava, anusaya, all the 10 fetters that bind you. So this one, you use sabba asava sutta, anusaya, sabba asava sutta. But as you cultivate what they call the 4 foundation of mindfulness, the first foundation, kaya nupasana, will lead to daily mindfulness, anusaya. This daily mindfulness, you have to combine with the second practice, the sabba asava sutta, to abandon all the kilesa and asana. So once the sabba asava sutta is in place, then your mind become more and more what they call mindful, heedful. And then you can cultivate the 4 foundation of mindfulness. Without heedfulness, ever mindful, you cannot cultivate the daily mindfulness, the 4 foundation of mindfulness. Then after the 4 foundation of mindfulness is developed, the 7 factors of enlightenment will come to be, understand? Then liberation. So this is how the sequence come about. Then the 3 layers of defilements or kilesa. I told you earlier on, the transgression is the one that has already come out. Initially it's latent tendency, anusaya. These are the most deeply rooted. It's in the level of latent tendency where a defilement merely lay dormant without displaying any activity until it is triggered off and there is condition. Then manifestation is the second phase. At this stage, the mental defilement through the impact of some stimuli surge up in the form of unwholesome thought or emotion. So these are at the thought level, not transgression yet, understand not? Then when you transgress into action speech, then that one is a very, very, what they call, very strong one. They call it impulsive one, impulsive defilement. Like impulse, they just react like that. They just get angry like that. They become violent. Then they act out of it. They acted out of it. They harm, they kill, they abuse you, and they do all sorts of things. So a defilement at this stage passes beyond mental manifestation and is expressed through some unwholesome actions of body and speeches. And this level is called transgression. Okay, then the 7 factors of enlightenment, you go back and read. Then the 10 defilement of insight also, you go back and read. This one we have gone through it. Maybe this one I will do it another day. Then page 3 is a sabba asava sutta. So this sutta is about one who knows and see with heedfulness and understanding through wise attention or yoniso manasikara. In one who does not have this wise attention or yoniso manasikara, the unarisen asava arise and the arisen asava increase. In one who has wise attention, means wisdom at the moment of attention or sense experience, the unarisen asava does not arise and the arisen asavas are abundant. Hence, in one who knows and see, there is the extinction of the asava or defilement. So, in conclusion, you look at the last one. Having abandoned all asava, one abides in true peace. He has cut off all craving, rooted out all fetters, and having become fully aware of self-conceit, has made an end to suffering. Hence, the destruction of asava is for one who knows and see, not for one who does not know and see. Know here means we have the wisdom. That's why wise attention, yoniso manasikara. Seeing means the direct seeing, penetrative seeing. Then you have here the seven way to abandon. The first one is right attention, attending to things that are fit for attention. Like this is suffering, he attends wisely. This is the origin of suffering, he attends wisely. Then subsequently until cessation and the way that leads to the end of cessation. When he attends wisely in this way, three fetters are abandoned. Personality view means self-delusion, doubt, and adherence to right and ritual means you attain to the first fruit of enlightenment, sotapan, sotapatti sainthood. So rooting out self-delusion, attachment to right and ritual and doubt leads to the first stage of sainthood, realization. Then after that, you will come to understand that there are certain defilements that you need to abandon via restraint. Restraint in the sixth sense faculty via reflecting wisely during every moment of sense experience, so that the defilement will not arise in those who abide in sense faculty restraint. This one refers to the what they call precepts. Overcome sensual desire, ill will, and even delusion. I think he missed out. Then proper use of the four requisites. We are reflecting wisely on their purpose. Then after that is the endurance. That's why you have this endurance. Endurance leading to ultimate acceptance of physical and mental pain and discomfort via wise reflection. Then avoidance of the foolish or heedless people and dangerous situation via reflecting wisely. Then rejection, or actually the word is too strong. It should be abandoning or removal of unwholesome thought via reflecting wisely, so that one does not tolerate the arisen thought of sensual desire, ill will, cruelty, or any evil unwholesome state from arising. And he diligently abandons them, removes them, does away with them, and annihilates them. So this one is to help overcome the arising of future evil karma, remorse, and restlessness of mind. So when you have reached that type of wisdom, then all this abandoning will happen by itself. You don't have to do anything, actually, they cannot arise. But initially, there is right effort to abandon them. Then the five ways. The best one is the meditative way, the third way. Then the fourth way is to trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse it through wisdom, and then it will cease to be. So that third and fourth way that the Buddha teach can lead to wisdom that can allow you to actually cease it. Then finally, of course, you have to cultivate the seven factors of enlightenment, which will come from the four foundation of mindfulness cultivation. Then seven factors of enlightenment, of course, will also enable you to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. So cultivate Noble Eightfold Path and four foundation of mindfulness leading to the enlightenment, the realization of Nibbana in the here and the now. When you do the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, it will include the four foundation of mindfulness. The four foundation of mindfulness is Samasati under the seven path factor, Asana. So actually it's Noble Eightfold Path. Then from the four foundation of mindfulness, the Dhammanupassana, the second last one before the Four Noble Truths, is the mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. But for you to cultivate the mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment, you must cultivate the seven factors of enlightenment. If they are not there, you cannot be mindful of them. So all these are related cultivation. Then the last one is the chart, the last page. That chart is a very useful chart. The first on your left hand side is the standard dependent origination of 12 links. Avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnana, then namarupang, salayatana, pasat, vedana, tangaha, upadana, bhava, jati, then dukkha, jara marana, soka, parideva. dukkha domana supaya. So hence arise the whole mess of suffering. Then the transcendental dependent origination means to go beyond and lead to enlightenment or liberation is on your right hand side. This one, there is a sutta that talks about it, the Upanishad sutta. This Upanishad sutta also talk about destruction of asavak, asavak kaya jnana, that jnana that lead to the destruction of asavak. So this sutta say, when you start to experience suffering in this world, what you must do is to develop the sadha, the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then after that, to develop the rest of the spiritual faculty, that will lead to all this arising of joy. Means pamoja. Pamoja is when you investigate into the Dhamma, you stand up to investigation. There is this joy, there is this confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Then you, through the virya, you develop the meditation. Then when you develop the meditation, the mindfulness come. Once the mindfulness come, you experience piti and asana, piti and rapture. Then after that, your mind will experience pasati and sukha. Actually, sukha first, then only pasati. But I don't know why inside the sutta they say this word first. Then after that, only sukha. But it should be the other way around. Sukha, then pasati, then samadhi. Then when there is samadhi, your mind is collected and unwavering. Understand? Then you can see things as they are. Understand? Pasati is actually the silent mind, which is sati. Understand? Then seeing things as they are, knowledge and vision of the reality, seeing things as they are. There's a yatta buddha jnana dasana. Jnana dasana means the direct knowledge and vision of the reality, seeing things as they are. Then the moment you see clearly, you will understand the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self very clearly. The mind awakens. Then there is this nibbida jnana. This insight, the English word is wrong. He called revulsion. Revulsion is very negative. It's not revulsion. It's like what they call detachment is a better word, but there is a better word. What word is it really? There is another word. I forgot it. You see, you cultivate until You understand it so clearly, you know, that everything is not real one. No. Think also like that, don't think also like that. All this is sankhara only, understand? The whole world of consciousness arising and disappearing, coming and going, no meaning one, understand? Then it cannot deceive you anymore, understand? You cannot be deluded by it anymore. Understand? It's not that you don't like it or what, no. It's just like, think also like that, don't think also. It leads to suffering. No, withdraw. The mind just understand. No meaning. Understand? It's not to say, revulsion is like a negative part. No, you dislike, no, like this passion. No, I don't want this. No such thing. It's just that you understand, no meaning on. Like you look at the kid. Initially when you young, you play, you think very interesting. Then as you grow up, you're dirty like man. Oh God, you cannot go and play already. You understand it so clearly. When you young, you don't know. It's like so interesting. You play until face all black and so dirty, dirt also you eat. Last time, our house don't have town. Cement, right? Very dirty one. So after you understand, then you know no meaning on it. So this part is like you start to understand, right? Think also, then you cannot think on it. You are not whole anymore. Understand? Means all this, the mind is so clear now. The sense experience, the moment you see, is very clear.
it cannot continue to think, right? Then later on you become so sensitive, you know what happened, right? Every moment of sense experience, right? The moment of consciousness, the moment of feeling, the moment of perception, or even activity of mind, sankhara, that movement, that itself is suffering. That very, very fine suffering within the five aggregate of form and mind, the arising of mind is suffering. Understand? That time, you say let go. Actually, nothing to let go. It's only the one who deludedly cling need to let go. The one that has wisdom cannot hold, no need to let go. Understand? Understand? Because it can feel that type of fine suffering. No? Then the mind cannot arise. Understand? The mind doesn't need to arrive. Every moment is suffering. No? That's how we enter cessation. That's how the mind sits by itself. It doesn't think anymore. It doesn't arise anymore. It just like that. So these are the wrong English words. Dispassion. Liberation is correct. Vibhuti. Because when it doesn't think, it enters into cessation. Then actually that one is liberation. Vimutti. So they got Cheto Vimutti and Panya Vimutti. But actually both also Panya Vimutti. Born of wisdom, the mind liberate and cease. So these are the words they use. Then when you realize Vimutti, when the mind reaches cessation of form and mind, which is realized on Nibbana, then you will come to know that the asavakkhaya jnana, you will have that insight, no more defilement. This mind can never be deluded anymore. Defilement can never come in and play trick anymore. Oh, it completely, like Hui Ning, originally there was nothing. Where can the dust alight? You understand? You are defilement, you create one, understand? But when the wisdom is there, there is no word, then there is no duality. Then the original state of mind is empty. Understand? Then where can the dust alight? Because it cannot hold. It cannot cling. There is no mind to grasp. Understand? Everything is just the way things are. Understand? Nature. Understand? The true mind that doesn't create, doesn't do anything. Understand? It's just seeing things as they are. That's why no more delusion, nothing. That it cannot do anything, understand? That's why Nibbana is the unconditioned. You cannot use word or you cannot describe one. You cannot say anything. It's the mind that realizes itself and ceases completely. Finish. No more. Okay, we better end. Sorry, I taken extra about 8 minutes. So this one I think is a very good sutta. It will help you. So now you understand a lot of books when they write daily mindfulness, moment-to-moment awareness, or mindfulness meditation, they use a lot of words. But the whole process, the whole training is different. Understand? Because after you develop the understanding through the cultivation, then you realize the Buddha Dhamma, the teaching, is all very, very profound and very deeply interlinked, related. And the whole cultivation is all actually connected. But if you just take one part of it, then you go and focus on it. Very difficult to penetrate. Like I said, you go retreat, you only do vipassana. You only want to develop what they call jnana or jhana. But you overlook the five spiritual faculty. You forgot about the three turning of the four noble truths. Then you don't go and reflect, contemplate, and develop this Sabbasavak Sutta type of understanding and Salika Sutta. Salika Sutta, go one part I forgot to mention. He started off by saying all the eight jhana one by one. He told Chunda. Chunda is Sariputta's brother. Chunda asked, he said, there were many monks who asked this question. Yet they believe all the jhanic state that they are experiencing, they are enlightenment state. Then the Buddha explained under Salika Sutta, no? He said, to them is enlightenment state, but to the Arya, noble disciple of the Buddha, they are not enlightenment state.
they are abiding in the here and the now in peace, joy and happiness. They are not enlightenment state. All the eight jhana is mentioned in the sutta. Then he described the jhana one by one, until the four formless jhana also. And they are not enlightenment state. The Buddha explained it very clearly. Then the Buddha explained, what are the mind state that lead to enlightenment? He quoted this 44, what they call wholesome state, to counter the 44 unwholesome state defilement. These are the mind that leads to enlightenment. And you have to do all those though, according to the Buddha. But once you develop the understanding of these seven Sabbasabodhisattva, especially the last one, seven factor of enlightenment, you will understand the 44. Because 44 is a very detailed, what they call, division of the whole set of defilement. Actually, the same defilement, he used many, many words. You go into the sutta, you will know. And they are all very beautifully laid out. Because I think many monks must have asked the Buddha. So he might as well, he said one shot, he put everything in the sutta. So that it covers everything that people want to ask. Because there are a lot of wrong view during the time of the Buddha. So a lot of this wrong view, he said, you must act the opposite way. They are all actually the 44. Everyone is linked to the three evil roots. That's it. Okay? So we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then after that, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Then you make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadat sabbe deva nodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampatihito ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season, may there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the garment of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Itmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Pusyan, and all the worthy ones.
你放在这边，啊，在不是放吗？你不是在这边。